Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
How many of you love the book of Ruth?
You mean the guy who saw Ruth coming back with Naomi? And Naomi, when she comes back, because remember they left, the Bible says that there was Naomi and her husband and her two sons. And there was a famine in the land. And so they said, it's too tough for us here, we're going to quit. And they lived in Bethlehem, the city, in Judah, as it were, the region, the section. Bethlehem means house of bread. What does Judah mean? Praise. They lived in the house of bread in the land of praise, and there was a famine. Why was there a famine? The Bible tells us, because they weren't listening to the Lord. But instead of repenting, Elimelech is his name, and Naomi uproot the whole family, and they lease their land to somebody else. And they go and they live in Moab, and Moab is referred to in the Bible as, God says, it's my wash pot. It's my potty place. And Christians who find a bump in the road and difficult challenge in their church, oh, I pray that none of us are like Naomi and Elimelech. In the house of bread and the land of praise, I don't like what's going on here. I don't think I'm getting fed, is often what they say. I know what we'll do. We'll uproot the whole family and move to Vegas. Yeah, that'll be great. The two sons, Mahalon and Chilion, they marry two gals, Orpah and Ruth. Well, a funny thing happens. Elimelech dies. The two sons die. And now Naomi says, I'm stuck in Moab and I'm poor because no one is a breadwinner for me. The only choice I have is to go back to Bethlehem where I live. Now, husband Elimelech had leased out the land. I don't know for how long. It could be upwards of 50 years. She comes back and Orpah says, I don't think I can hang with you. Ruth, who is a Gentile, says to Naomi, wherever you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. And your God will be my God. Naomi comes rolling into town, into Bethlehem. And all the ladies come out and say, Naomi. And I believe her name means something like blessed or full. And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Because I went away full and the Lord brought me back empty. I'm not sure if that's accurate, but that's how she felt. Who's that you got with you? Well, this is Ruth. She's married to my oldest boy, but he died, of course. So she knew, did Naomi, the little thing about the law, Moses' law said, at harvest time, if you drop some grains from the truck, as it were, and it falls in the field, you can't pick it up. Because the poor of the land can go behind and glean the grain that came out. So she says, well, this is our custom. And so see what you can glean in the fields. And so there's one catch, though. Ruth comes with the deal. And whoever redeems the land belongs to Elimelech. And of course, that would succeed down to his oldest son. And because the son was married to Ruth and died, yeah, the law says you have to marry Ruth. And the guy goes, oh. And he doesn't want to mess up his own inheritance. He goes, I don't want to redeem. The law cannot redeem. Only Boaz can. So he takes a shoe And he says, the nearer redeemsman has refused his rightful duty, and I will redeem the land, which means I will redeem Ruth. And the Jewish nobleman takes a Gentile bride. Does that sound familiar? Well, why was Boaz, wasn't he worried about his own inheritance? Any offspring that they would have would not be able to go to the temple until the 10th generation. Boaz says, I don't care, I love her. Because his mom was Rahab the harlot. And then you look at the book of Ruth chapter 4 and you start counting off the generations. In Bethlehem, Boaz and Ruth have a child. And they have a child, and they have a child. You keep counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 is Jesse. And number 10 is King David. Why did Samuel the prophet, when Saul had goofed up and goofed up and goofed up, why did Samuel go to Bethlehem and ask Jesse, do you have a son? That was the 10th generation and with other prophecies intact and in his mind. Do you have a son? Well, you know, I got some sons, and son number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is there any left? Well, there's one, but he is ruddy and young. David in Bethlehem. All the years later, when the shepherds were in their field by night, what city were they in, or what community? Bethlehem. And the angels suddenly ripped a hole in the heavenlies, and all of the Shekinah glory and light poured out, and all the angels sang hallelujah. I'll bet you 5 million angel bucks that the field was Boaz's field. Notice she has a mother and a father and brothers and sisters, but no husband. Not yet. Right in your margin, she will. Salmon, and they will beget Boaz. I love that story. Verse 14. So the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them drop by a rope through the window. For her house was on the city wall. She dwelt in the wall. As I said, lots of archaeological digs have taken place here. And they knew that there were two walls. And they were about 15 feet apart. And so the poorest of the land, who couldn't afford proper real estate, what began to happen was they would put these beams between the two walls, and they would build a house, a foundation of sorts, between the walls. And evidently, somehow, she had dug a portion of her wall and dug a window to the outside of the city. And it must have been pretty high up, because it required a rope to get to the bottom. Verse 16, and she said to them, go to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. If you're standing in Jericho, the visible mountains are to the west, and the Jordan is to the east. She sent the guys east and sent these guys west, is what's happening. Afterward, you may go your way. In other words, let them go east, they won't find you, and they'll come back. About 3 days should cover it. Then you guys head east and get home. Verse 17, so the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord. What is another word for scarlet, everybody? Red. Why red? In the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home, make sure they're all inside. So it shall be that whoever goes outside of the doors of your home when we arrive into the street, well, then his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you inside the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on them. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you have made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so it will be. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Again, the archaeologists have made some startling discoveries. Not just in Jericho, but in a lot of this region, the industry, the oldest profession, would announce that they were sort of open for business by painting the sill of their window red. I can't say for certain, but I wonder, why did they stipulate a red cord or rope? Is it possible, because she was a harlot and everybody knew it, is it possible that the red rope would not stick out? If you're cruising around the wall doing your wall maintenance and you happen to notice a rope coming out of a wall, that might raise some suspicion. Is it possible that they said, because your sill is already red, let's match the color of rope? And when they put the rope over, maybe nobody noticed it except the angels, that it crossed vertical from horizontal. And who would be safe if they were what? Inside the house, do you remember the night of Passover? Take the blood of the lamb and put it on the lintel and the doorpost. The lintel and the doorpost. And if you are inside, the angel of judgment would pass over. Why red? Wouldn't that stick out? If the sill was not painted red, then a red rope would definitely stick out. But if the sill was painted red, it wouldn't. And maybe nobody noticed it except the angels. Look at the cross. Verse 22. How many of you love God's word? They departed and went to the mountains, and they stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descending from the mountain. Now they're heading east again, and crossed over the Jordan. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all of the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. I think that's why Joshua sent them in. Is Exodus 23, verse 27, and Deuteronomy 2, verse 25, did it take effect? And the two spies came back. I'll bet one of them was Solomon. I'll just bet you. Rahab lied, didn't she? Is there a model here? Is there a principle of the promised land? Yes, on this side of the cross. Rahab is a prostitute and a liar. You want to see her, what she looks like on the other side of the cross? Let's go ahead and turn there. We have a little time. Hebrews chapter 11, everybody. Hebrews, James, Peter, it's Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is hope? We know what that is. That is the absolute expectation that God is working. And the evidence of things not seen. Then it goes on, it starts to name Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and names a number, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the parents of Moses. Verse 24, Moses himself. Verse 30, Joshua and Israel. And look at verse 31. Not only is she in this list, you know what other list she's in? Matthew chapter 1. She's in the list of the lineage of our Savior, Messiah. On the other side of the cross, she's a prostitute and a liar. But here on this side of the cross, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. On this side of the cross, she's a glorious trophy of faith. And if you take notes, write a couple of verses down. 2 Corinthians 5, let's turn there, but if you're taking notes, write 2 Corinthians 5, verses 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 8 through 10. Let's check it out. I want to show you something. This is probably well known by most. But in case it isn't, you want to check this out. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 8. Paul says, "We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." Verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now these are believers. Wait a minute. I thought that we were judged righteous when we received the Lord. This is not the white throne judgment, as we'll see in our next verse. In fact, right here in your margin, write 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 through 15. This is going to explain this. In 1 Corinthians 3, that judgment seat is the Bema seat. How many of you have been loving the Olympics? It's cool. Now, who invented the Olympics, you guys? NBC did. Who invented the Olympics? The Greeks did. They were a sports crazy culture. And Corinth was in what region? The region of Greece. They were sports crazy. And then when they would run their Olympics way back then, and you won the prize, gold, silver, or whatever, or the wreath, you were presented your awards from the judge who sat on the Bema seat. We must all appear before the judgment seat, right, Bema, of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body when we were here on planet Earth before we died, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we have a judgment of sorts, not the judgment of righteousness. We have the judgment of what we've done for him. More to the story. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll end here tonight. More to the story. Look down there to verse number 12. Now, if anyone builds this foundation, you have to read earlier in chapter 3, that's Jesus' foundation. In other words, if you are ministering on a foundation of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, and not selfish, if you're building on that foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, or straw, each one of our work will become clear. For the day will declare it. How's that going to work? Because it will be revealed by fire. I used to think that, you know, when we get up to heaven, and I don't know how it would work exactly, but we roll up with our big cart of all the stuff we did here on earth. And then we sort of put it on this conveyor belt that ka-chunk, 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 went through a big furnace, and then we race around to the other side to see what would come out. I don't think that's accurate. Because in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, when John sees Jesus, what are his eyes like? A flame of fire. When we arrive on Judgment Day, the Bema seat, when we get our rewards, it's not like the Lord says, "Let me see what you got." I think it's kind of like this, "Steve!" And then he looks right at me, whoosh, all my stuff. Everything that was gold and silver and precious stones that I did with the right heart will still be precious. But anything that I did that was kind of self-serving, that's wood, hay, and stubble. Now, there are people that say, we should follow the Lord because of love, not for reward. And I get that. I mean, that makes logical sense to me. But when you arrive, when I arrive, I want to have lots and lots and lots of stuff that Jesus says, "Well done, Steve." We get crowns for a lot of these things. You know what we do with those crowns? We give it back to him. Well, who empowered you with the spiritual gift? Who arranged the people and the circumstances so that that spiritual gift was needed? who empowered the receiving of the spiritual gift that did the great work there. What really did I have to do with the whole process? Please remember, beloved of the Lord, it's not your ability that does it. It's your and my availability. Won't we be full? We will be full. And then John Corson says, a thimble can be full. So can a swimming pool. So can an ocean basin. It doesn't matter to me how much stuff I have because I'm not in it for the rewards. When you get there, it will matter. Paul is saying here, when we are living this side under the sun, this side of glory, what we do for him of that pure heart, he keeps a record of. And I pray, oh, I pray, that there's lots of stuff when he looks at me, Steve, whoosh. Oh, I pray that there is much that the Lord will say to this coconut. Well done. Well done. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Verse 15, but if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Rahab is a model, an Old Testament model of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 12 through 15. On this side of the cross, she's a harlot and a liar. But on the other side of the cross, she's God's wonderful trophy of faith. Let's all stand together. We thank you, Lord, that there are so many stories, historical in nature, accurate in their historicity. There really was a Jericho, and we know it. We know a lot about the manners and customs, but now as we cruise through the principles of the promised land, we learned a good one tonight. It doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter how you got here. What matters is that you are here. Oh, Lord, thank you that on the other side of the cross, man, was I a bum and a goof up. The washing blood of Jesus Christ. You look at me. You don't even choose to recall any of that whacked out behavior. You see me right now like you have described Rahab. We're the ones that like to bring up, oh, remember what she did. You, Lord, say, uh-uh, that's not how I see her. And if it's true of Rahab, it is true of every single believer of Jesus Christ tonight. You have been forgiven. You are His righteousness. He has justified you. And when He looks at you now, He doesn't see the sin anymore. He only sees, nice job. All I did was give a cup of cool water to someone ministering the gospel. That doesn't mean anything, does it? It's going to be amazing, Lord. The things that we think are going to be a big deal and the rewards, it probably won't. And the things that we think weren't particularly big deals at all, but turns out will be quite impressive. And by your grace and through your enlightenment, Lord, we're going to see, oh, the great works you did just because I said, here am I, Lord, use me. Thank you for the model of Rahab. In Jesus' name, and all the former Rahab said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.